ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter, this new chapter, chapter 10, entitled Maharaja Rahugna meets Jad Bharat, text number 1, and also because there is no purport, we'll take text number 2 as well. It's prose, so I just read. Shri Suka Uvacha, it's prose. अथ सिंधुर सौवीरपते रहुग्नस्य व्रजत इक्षुमस्य तटे तत्कुलपतिनां शिबिकावाह पुरुषान् एशान समये दैवेनो उपसिद्ध सद्विजवर उपलब्ध एष पीवा युवासहानो गोखरवद्धरं वोढुम अमिलितम् पूर्वविष्टै गृहतै सगृहीतः प्रसभर्दतः उवाह शिबिकां स महानुभाव। विल गो फॉर ट्रांसलेशन एंड द नेक्स्ट वर्स ट्रांसलेशन परपट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन, श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड, माय डियर किंग, आफ्टर धिस King Rahugna, ruler of the states known as Sindhu and Sauvir, was going to Kapilashram. When the king's chief palanquin carriers reached the banks of the river Ikshumati, they needed another carrier. Therefore, they began searching for someone, and by chance they came upon Jad Bharat. They considered the fact that Jad Bharat was very strong and young and had very firm limbs like cows and asses. He was quite fit to carry loads. Thinking in this way, although the great soul Jad Bharat was unfit for such work, they nonetheless unhesitatingly forced him to carry the palanquin. Translation: the palanquin, however, was very erratically carried by Jad Bharat due to his sense of non-violence. As he stepped forward, he checked before him every 3 feet to see whether he was about to step on ants. Consequently, he could not keep pace with the other carriers. Due to this, the palanquin was shaking, and the king Rahugna immediately asked the carriers, "Why are you carrying this palanquin unevenly? Better carry it properly." Purport: although Jad Bharat was forced to carry the palanquin, he did not give up his sympathetic feeling towards the poor ants passing on the road. A devotee of the Lord does not forget his devotional service and other favorable activities even when he is in most distressful condition. Jad Bharat was a qualified Brahmana, highly educated in spiritual knowledge, yet he was forced to carry the palanquin. He did not mind this, but while walking on the road, he could not forget his duty to avoid killing even an ant. A Vaishnava is never envious or unnecessarily violent. There were many ants on the path, but Jad Bharat took care by looking ahead 3 feet. When the ants were no longer in his way, he would place his foot on the ground. A Vaishnava is always very kind at heart to all living entities. In his Sankhya Yoga, Lord Kapildev explains, "Shruhuda Sarva Dehina." Living entities assume different bodily forms. Those who are not Vaishnavas consider only human society worthy of their sympathy. But Krishna claims to be the supreme father of all living forms. Consequently, the Vaishnava takes care not to annihilate untimely or unnecessarily any life forms. All living entities have to fulfill a certain duration for being engaged in a particular type of material body. They have to finish the duration allotted to a particular body before being promoted or evolved to another body. Killing an animal or any other living entity, simply places an impediment in the way of his completing his term in the imprisonment of a certain body. One should therefore not kill bodies for one's sense gratification, for this will implicate one in a sinful activity. Hare Krishna. So we are seeing many important points in this purport, and let us discuss water and how we can. First point Srila Prabhupada makes with relation to this narration, just know what we heard, that continuing with our Bhagavatam discussion, we just heard recently, just today, that Jad Bharat is now free from one danger, in the sense, danger from our point of view. For Jad Bharat, it was a usual activity that he was put on the sacrificial altar, almost to be sacrificed, just a gap of few moments. The sword was raised, and for him it was not a danger, but we can discuss that he is just freed from one danger of being almost to be killed, and now he is free moving around again just like a madman, avdhut, not knowing which direction to go, where to go. And at this time, this Maharaj Raghuna, who is the king of Sauvir and Sindhu, in modern day geography we can call it Sindhu is Sindh and Sauvir is Saurashtra. So they are both neighboring areas. So Maharaj Raghuna was the king of Saurashtra and Sindhu, and he was going to Kapil Ashram, and while passing, he was passing on the banks of river Ikshumati. And at that place, the palanquin carriers required a replacement because they are tired. So the chief organizer of the king was in search for palanquin carriers, and his own, he was not having any palanquin carriers with himself, so he wanted to employ or recruit new ones. So for him, he was searching for very strong men who can carry palanquin nicely, and he came across Jad Bharat. It is described that he had a very strong body, although he was not eating very palatably, as we heard quite some time back, that he was eating sometimes stale food, sometimes dry oil cakes, sometimes palatable food. Water would come on his own accord, he would eat that. But still he was having very strong and stout body. He was young. So this the organizers of King's Journey, they thought this is very suitable carrier for our palanquin, King's palanquin. And they employed him. So Jad Bharat was not at all a suitable person for this, because he was a highly qualified, self-realized saint, a pure devotee. But he did not oppose it. He did not fight. First we hear, he did not fight against being, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, that Jad Bharat was very strong, and he could have fought against these friends of these dacoits who caught him to be sacrificed. But even at that point he did not fight. He allowed himself to be tied with the rope. And that at second point we see, he was again caught to carry the palanquin. And even here at this moment, he did not rebel or try to explain that he is not a suitable candidate. Now sometimes we see, we have interviews modern day, and people try to explain that we are suitable candidates. But here we see he is not interested in any way. He is just observing what is happening. He is not trying to say that I am not a suitable candidate or a suitable candidate. He is just going on understanding it to be the will of Supreme Lord Krishna. So he did not oppose. And then not only he was caught to carry the palanquin, but he was carrying the palanquin now on his shoulders. So shoulders. So now he was in a very difficult state. But still Srila Prabhupada makes this first point. A devotee of the Lord does not forget his devotional service and other favorable activities even when he is in the most distressful condition. So Jad Bharat showed this principle, that a devotee does not forget his devotional service and other favorable activities even when he is in most distressful condition. We see in the recent times, especially when the devotees were preaching in communist countries, they also faced heavy persecution, heavy troubles we can't even imagine. But still, such devotees, they did not give up their devotional service. The devotees were caught, penalized, they were given electric shocks, psychiatric treatment, thinking they were mad. Actually, they were not, they were completely spiritual, but thinking they are mad, they were given psychiatric treatment. Sometimes they were threatened to be killed. Sometimes some dangerous dogs were left on them. Sometimes some of the devotees had to give up their body also. But under all the, sometimes they were, their bead bags and all were taken away from them. All these things. But in spite of all these opposition elements which they had to face, all of the devotees, they did not give up. They were just told that you just tell us who are your friends practicing devotional service. Just tell us their names and then we'll let you free. You can be free, but tell us the names who are the other devotees who practice spiritual life in this communist country. We'll let you free. Otherwise you have to face great troubles. But in spite of all these great troubles, they did not give their devotional service. We also hear the glorious incidents in the life of our Ladini Mataji. She could not tolerate seeing the devotees being killed. She could not see that I am just sitting here and the other devotees are being attacked. She could not take it. So she also did, and she knew if I act, I will be killed. But she could not tolerate seeing other devotees under trouble. We even hear in the past, like Jesus Christ, he was going to be put up on this cross, and so many times he was being caught. And he was just told that stop preaching. Stop preaching. But no, even Haridas Thakur. So devotees, we see, there are so many hundreds of examples if we look into our history of Vaishnavism and Srimad Bhagavatam, that they don't give up devotional activities and other favorable services, activities which help devotional service. Even under, when they are put in most distressful condition. Because those who are advanced devotees, now we are discussing about advanced devotees, they are beyond bodily level. For sadhak bhaktas, they may have to do it as a sadhana. Like, yes, I am being troubled, but some of them have to continue my spiritual life. But for advanced devotees, they are completely beyond their bodily consciousness. Shri Narottam Das Thakur says, Deha Smriti Nahi Jar Samsara Bandhan Kahatar. That one who has no nothing to do, he has no remembrance of his body, Deha Smriti. He doesn't, like, he is completely Krishna conscious, no bodily conscious. How can such a person be bound by material bondage? Because such a person, he is completely unattached to what is happening with his material body. As it is said in Bhagavad Gita, which Radha Gopinath Prabhu often quotes, Pralapan, Vishujan, Grunnan, Unmishan, Nivishan, Api, Indriyase, Indriyasu, Vartanta iti Dharayan. That one who is advanced soul, he just know that this material body is completely under influence of three modes of nature and it's just going on. The material world is controlling it, the body is just moving on. And I am completely aloof, just an observer. I am just an observer and this material body will go on and is due course of activities. So when such a person comes on the level of observer, not only that, but he goes further ahead. He knows I have nothing to do with this material body. I am only an observer, but also he becomes a Krishna conscious. He becomes so attached to remembering Krishna, to chant his holy names, to remember his pastimes, that he automatically forgets the consciousness of his body. We see in this material world, actually, we have to live our life as just being an observer. When we are an observer, the incidents don't affect us. But when we under illusion take part in the incidences, then they affect us, good or bad. We see everything in this relative in this material world. Sometimes we see a family, husband, wife, two children, they go sometimes to sea beach in the evening to spend their evening. And then children's usual activities are very famous when they go to sea beach. I don't know here in Bombay because there are so many other allurements of shops and all these things to sell. But at least where there is no commercialization on the sea beach, When the children go, there is only one common activity. That they make a house on the sea. They take the sand which is a little wet, so it has some strength in it, and they make a first big mountain, and they make some house and round, and they plant some twigs here and there. My house was on the beach on just 100 meters. So we would go in the evening almost daily. And daily it was our activity. We would make some tunnels and we would try to make bigger and bigger houses, things like that. And when the parents, they are sitting beside seeing their child's activities, the child's are making, and then they are laughing. They are not attached. They are just laughing. Oh, very nice. See my foolish children. They are baby, bacche. They are children. They are making the houses. And when, while going, sometimes some animal comes or wave comes, and their house gets destroyed, the children start crying. So parents are smiling. Oh, no problem, no problem. But sometimes, in their own house, sometimes a storm comes or earthquake comes, and their own house gets destroyed. They say, oh, where are they? What is this? So it's a similar thing. They made their own house with cement, concrete, and here a different wave of time comes. Earthquake may come, or tsunami may come, or sometimes fire may come, and their own house may get destroyed. Then they are equally distressed, just like their children. And their children, oh, what to do? We have to protect these things. Oh, how to keep it safe? And how to claim our insurance? And they are completely distressed, under anxiety. And the demigods are also laughing. Demigods are observing, ah, they see these foolish human beings. They made their house for 20 years. And I know anyway, demigods knew when the waves are going to come, when the earthquakes are going to come. And they are laughing. Demigods are observing human activities. And when the human beings lose their house under war, storm, flood, fire, earthquake, demigods are having a good time. They are observing, they are having a good time. Oh, very nice. See. Oh, what foolish human beings. Anyway, their house was going to last for 20 years. But sometimes the demigod planets are attacked by demons. And their houses are under threat. So they also get distressed. They say, oh, they don't feel that we are laughing for the same cause on the human beings. And then they get distressed. Oh, my position is being taken away by Hiranyakashipu. I was a Indra now, and now I am a Shudra. In a sense, he has to do the jobs of getting some water. So he gets distressed. What is this? My whole treasury is being stolen away by some demons. So he gets distressed. At that time, Brahma had a goose laugh. When Brahmaji is seeing that planets of heavenly planets, demigods getting influenced by the attacks of demons, or when the, but it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that even Brahmaji is under anxiety of death. He is fearful that his body is going to end. So we observe that people are having a good laugh only on a relative scale. The parents laugh on the children's activities. And for the same activities when happen to the parents, the demigods laugh at them. The same activities happen to the demigods, Brahmaji has a good laugh. But Brahmaji also has one time, has to face destruction. So similarly, but Vishnu, we see the difference. Vishnu is just observing. He never like criticizes or enjoys. He is just observing as a neutral. He is just saying anyway, these things are going on. A creation, maintenance, is each breath going out and going in. So we see in this material world, all of us are influenced by the activity of this material world. Once Raghunath Prabhu came to our college and he gave a very nice example. He said this material world is just like illusory, like a movie, theater. Sometimes we see that different types of people in the theater, picture house. And some person is so engrossed, just like when the hero rides the horse, then he also rides on his chair. Like this. When hero is moving the sword, the person on the theater in the chair is also moving the sword. When there is something sad, he starts crying. This person is completely in the materialistic concept of life. Then those who are in mode of goodness, little bit, they know these are not effect. They are into it. Like a person watching a movie, he's engrossed, he's enjoying, but he's not so much influenced, like fighting with a sword. And another person, he comes in, but he knows, oh, how this is useless anyway, I was cheated here. This theater is useless. What is this? All illusory pictures moving. So he starts to go out. And then another person, he knows this is illusion, he is not influenced, he doesn't go in. So similarly, those are liberated persons, They are not influenced by this or attracted by this theatrical or picture movie activities. Knowing they are just illusory, temporary activities, just moving on the, some lights moving on the screen. So, this is the role of a liberated person. He just sees this material world as an observer. But he also knows that the soul is always a servant of Krishna. While seeing this material world just as an observer, things happening, let the things take its due course of activities. If we try to meddle, anyway the things are going to happen as they are destined to happen. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says that if you want to become happy, stop trying to become happy. Because whatever efforts you do, the things are going to happen as per they are destined to happen. So better stop unnecessarily working hard. So this man, a liberated soul, is not affected by the events in this material world. But also a devotee who is already liberated, above and over that, he always engages in thinking of Krishna. He is always thinking Krishna. And by always thinking Krishna, he is free from material activities. And it's very easy. Although we may be in material world, but it's very easy to always think of Krishna. We see in material world, a businessman, he may go anywhere, he may move anywhere, he always think of business. What his vision is become like business tainted. He may see, oh, something like this. Oh, can I buy this? Is the prices low now? What is the market? Whatever he is moving around, he may see, oh, no, this. Sometimes we see these business stores, they always keep changing their product as per the demand. Sometimes they have mineral water, sometimes they have fruit juices, sometimes they have something else on their shops. Always they keep on changing as per the demand. They are always observing the world. What they see, oh, how can this be related to my business? The vision is become business vision. Sometimes a person is lusty. He may see the whole world and see how can he satisfy his senses. Sometimes a person is too addicted to eating. Then he, whatever place he may think, oh, if he sees something to eat, he will think, how can I eat? If he sees some other place, he says, is this good place to sit and eat? Is this good price? I can get some money from here, so I can purchase something to eat. So this person, according to his consciousness, sees this material world, every object accordingly. Every object he sees. For there is one story, one person, let me remember, Gaurangpur often tells this story, so there was one businessman, and he was a cloth merchant up till now. He was doing big cloth shops, and one day his relatives died, but he was not feeling any sorrow. He was not crying. Sometimes it is said when the relatives die and we don't express our sorrow, it remains in and it may hurt us in the future. So his other friends were trying to make him express his sorrow, but he could not. And then ultimately they thought, let him take to the funeral place where the bodies are burned. So they got the body to Banaras. They are staying close. Some of us were at Banaras last year and we saw this Manikarnik Ghat. At least 2-3 bodies are burned always. 24 hours a day, there are 2-3 bodies burning, minimum, sometimes more also. Day and night the bodies are burning there. So this businessman was brought to see the dead bodies burning, especially of his relatives, so that he may express his sorrow, seeing that his body is now going. When this businessman came over there, he started crying. So people thought, oh, we are succeeding in our effort. He is now started crying. He said, oh, why you are crying? No, you are feeling the sorrow for your lost relatives. He said, no, I am crying. That no, I am seeing that I wasted my life doing cloth business. If I knew there is so much demand here for wood, I have become a wood businessman. So the point remains that our vision is as per our attachment. If a man is businessman, he will see everything in terms of business. If a man is attached to eating, he will see everything in terms of eating. If a man is attached to lusty desires, he will see everything. How can he satisfy lusty desires? If a man is, whatever he is attached to, he will see the whole world accordingly. Similarly, if we are Krishna conscious, we will see the whole world in relation to Krishna. And Prabhupada explains from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also explains how you can begin this. Punyo gando prithivamcha tejas chasmi bhavasu. Krishna says, I am the taste of water, I am the light of sun and moon, I am the order, fragrance of earth. Everywhere, Krishna gives us so many hints, we can see His presence. Prabhupada says, is it difficult? When you see the sunlight, you remember Krishna. When you see the moonlight, you remember Krishna. When you feel thirsty and drink some water, you remember Krishna. Krishna says, I am the taste of water. So we see, those who are devotees of Krishna, they see everywhere. How this is related to Krishna? How I can offer this to Krishna? How I can use this in Krishna's service? And if they see something which is not related to Krishna or which cannot be related to Krishna, then they are completely disinterested in the subject matter. Just like a businessman sees something which has nothing, which can't be used anyway in his business, then he is disinterested. For him, he doesn't care if the remains just lies as it is. Similarly, those who are devotees, so one point which we began here, those who are devotees, they are completely interested only in how they can connect it to Krishna. If something can be used in Krishna's service, they are interested. Otherwise, they are just observer. They just see the things happening and going on. So the next point which Srila Prabhupada makes in this purport, he says, a Vaishnava is never envious or unnecessarily violent. We see in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada and Lord Shri Krishna gives some different definitions of Himsa. One definition he gives is to kill somebody. It's very obvious. To kill somebody, take away somebody's life is Himsa, violence. Second definition is given to speak, to agitate somebody or give somebody troubles, to speak some harsh words or to disturb somebody in his activities, that is also called Himsa. And third definition is given is to not help somebody advance in spiritual life. Atmaha, killing of the soul, that is also Himsa. If we don't help a soul to get free from, that may not be killing of the body, but it is killing of the opportunity of the soul to get liberated, to become a devotee of the Supreme Lord. So a devotee, a Vaishnava, is never envious or unnecessarily violent. And Prabhupada gives the example of Jada Bharat. He says, how Jada Bharat, although he was forced to carry this palanquin and he was walking, but he was observing on the street. He was taking very much care to avoid killing the ants. So devotees are also very careful in seeing that their life doesn't kill other living entities. And we can't be ignorant of these facts. We can't say, oh, I was too busy to see if my activities are killing some other living entities. Then Prabhupada says, what will happen? If we unnecessarily kill other living entities for sense gratification, then it will implicate in sinful activity. So sense gratification is a symptom of mode of passion, enjoying. Like all modes, but especially mode of passion is symptomized by trying to enjoy senses. So somebody who is trying to enjoy senses and he doesn't, and in that he kills other living entities or does some himsa to other living entities, then certainly he will be implicated in sinful activity. But if somebody kills other living entities in ignorance, out of carelessness, out of not learning to know that he is killing living entities, then that is also implicated in him, because that is in mode of ignorance, more lower than passion. If we just want to remain ignorant, or we remain ignorant and our activities are killing our living entities for our own selfish purposes, then certainly we will also be implicated in sinful activity. Certainly Krishna bhakti is such that it can free you from all sinful activities. Sarva dharman parityajya. But at the same time Krishna also says, yesham tvandagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanda moho nirmukta bhajante mam duravrata. That if we want to do duravrata bhajan, then we have to be yesham tvantagatam papam. And also this other part is also true, that once we surrender fully to Krishna, then we are free from all sinful reactions. But then to do this Duravrata Bhakti or to surrender to Krishna fully, sometimes these sinful activities may keep, like, may not allow us, our sinful desires or sinful reactions may not allow us to take shelter of Krishna fully. Therefore, a devotee has to be very careful to see that his activities, unnecessary activities, are not killing or destroying other living entities or even disturbing them or agitating them. All types of violence, not only killing is one of the violence certainly, but also in other types of violence. So in this way, if we avoid this, devotees are careful for this. Jada Bhagat could have thought, oh, I am always remembering Krishna. I don't need to care whether I am killing few ants under my feet or not. Anyway, I don't want to kill, but I am forced to run because of this king Rahugana. No, although he was in difficult condition, he was trying to see that I am not unnecessarily doing any violence to other living entities. These are the things which are required for one to advance in spiritual life. In the end, I would just like to give the example of highest devotees, the devotees of the residents of Vrindavan. These residents of Vrindavan, they are so advanced that certainly they were not caring for themselves when great dangers come. We see in Vrindavan, sometimes great demoness like Putana came, sometimes hurricanes and storms came in the form of Tunavarta, sometimes without any cause, big trees fell down, Yamalarjun trees. In all these cases, this Vrajvasi had no tinge or no affiliation or thought that dangers are coming to them. They never thought, oh, we'll be in danger, oh, I'll be killed, maybe the demon will catch me next time. No, they're always thinking for Krishna's protection. Oh, these dangers are coming. What dangers can this cause to Krishna? How can Krishna be protected? When the storm came, their first desire was, or first attention went to how to protect Krishna. Not even first, that was the only attention. Not at first they thought, let us protect Krishna and then let me protect myself. No, their only thought was, how can I protect Krishna since dangers are coming? And because they are so much Krishna conscious, suddenly Krishna took the responsibility to protect them. Rakhe Krishna mare ke, mare Krishna rakhe ke. Therefore, those advanced devotees, they are completely aloof from their bodily consciousness. They are only worried or caring how to be Krishna conscious and how to serve Lord Krishna. In such a state, we see even Jada Bharat was on such an advanced state of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, we see that even in such odd situations where he was told to carry the palanquin, in the future we will see that he is even threatened of punishment and even death if he is not carrying the, again the death is coming on him. So we see even devotees sometimes are threatened by death. Jada Bharat was threatened twice, but he completely remained peaceful. And when he thought that there is a proper candidate for preaching, then he also gave out the pretense of acting as a madman. He was not even attached to being a madman. Sometimes we become attached to our austerities, attached to our some external austerities or something like that. We see Jada Bharat was being as a madman up till it was helpful for his spiritual life. But when he saw that this madman is no more helpful, there is a proper candidate for spiritual life, he gave up his mad behavior externally, certainly, and he behaved like a very intelligent person to preach to Maharaj Rahugana. Therefore, his own only attachment was Krishna consciousness and how to advance his own and others' Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Or Murari Gupta Prabhu has a comment.
Hare Krishna. I have one question. There is mentioned that we should not unnecessarily kill animals. So one person asked this question. Nowadays there is a big media articles
nowadays?
There are many articles in the media and public campaign which favors killing cows, considering them as burdensome. So can you tell us some practical facts how cows as, are very useful in our rural as well as urban areas? Some actual facts, not just like we understand from karmic point of view, but...
Yeah. Shall I discuss something? Yeah, it's in this material world, we see everything is like whatever. This all propaganda is done by the business people, big magnates. They hide the facts in all the fields. Just like Jagannath Prabhu told one story, very nice, to make this point very clear that how the business magnates make this propaganda, brainwash us, telling us that you have to do this, you need this, and this is truth, to only see their business interest become true. Once Jagannath Prabhu told this nice story, he said once one man went to a village. He started telling, you see, everyone should drink boiled water. Boiled water is required. By this we make the water good for health or whatever it is. He was preaching a lot about boiled water. So some of the, after hearing a lot about boiled water, some people came to this man. Said, oh, you are telling about so much use of boiled water. So are you some type of a doctor or a vaidya? He said, no, not exactly. I am a coal merchant who have opened a shop just now in your village. So this is what happens in this material world. Now, whatever knowledge we get in this world, beginning from our curriculums, they are influenced by the business magnates, all the media, everything. So whatever we hear from the point of view of how the business magnates can advance their business. So they are business magnates in flesh field, flesh in the sense of meat field, and every field who wants to advance their business deals, their businesses, they want to make it bigger and bigger. So in this way, if we see, for we asked a very specific question, there, I don't have any statistics here in my hand, but I can tell the points. If we know, if we try to exploit cow from any one point of view, it cannot be what we call it, economically viable. A cow can be viable only with in the rural fields, like where there is a cooperation with the field activities, the farming activities. Only in that place, cow can be economically viable. Second point which I would like to share is, it is said that there are 33 crore demigods residing in the body of the holy cow. And in the modern age, the greatest mistake which our Western influenced learning makes is that they equate the cow, or how cow is economically viable, with the amount of milk it gives. But it said Lakshmiji, which is the Lakshmiji, everyone knows who is Lakshmiji, money matters. She doesn't reside in the milk or udders of the cow, but she resides in the back portion of the cow. You know, in South India, some temples, or even many places, when the deities are woken up, Narsingh Dev deity, Vishnu deity, they want to give the first darshan of the deity of Lakshmiji. So they take the cow in a reversed way to see the... It is said that Lakshmiji resides in the cow dung or the anus of the cow, from where the cow dung comes out. In that portion, Lakshmiji resides. So if you want to make cow economically viable, you have to learn to utilize cow dung and like that in your various ways. There is a book called Cow Dung Gold Mine, in which it has been shown statistically that even an old bull, if you just keep it and you learn to properly use its dung, it is economically viable. But they will preach it is not viable, because otherwise how their meat industry will go on. And there are so many industries which are based on cow and cow products, gelatin and things like that, leather. So for all these industries to go on, they have to advertise that your bull is old, it is a burden on you. But at the same time, they will also teach you to buy their own. See, they will tell you to kill the bull, and then they will come up, because cow dung can be used as fuel, as antiseptic, as preservative, as flooring, as cementing. So if we make a shortage of cow dung, all this business will flourish. If there is enough cow dung available, which is free, there is no need of any tile industries, no need of any plastering industry, that is cement. There is no need of any washing powder industry. Because the cow dung ash is a good place in the villages to wash the vessels. There is no need of any, preservatives industry. In the previous time, when the grains would come, they had to be preserved for a year. It is that equal quantity of grain and equal quantity of cow dung ash if you put. And then it can be stored for years together. But no, they want to sell you this boric powder. So if you use cow dung ash, then boric powder industry will stop. So there are all many, many industries related to all this. So if they want to flourish, they have to show this is very harmful and this is very burdensome for you. They'll teach you to see this, you have to make so much, better buy our products. So in this way, they will sell their products and also tell you to stop use cow dung for various activities which can be used, soap industry. All these industries, they're related and they'll all fall apart if all the animals are kept alive in the whole world. Because there will be so much surplus, fuel, petroleum industry, all this is a big thing which is related. So there are so many things. If you equate a cow with milk, it will be difficult to maintain it. Because that is not exact. In Manu Samhita it is said, it is sinful to sell the milk. So it was never, cow was maintained not to milk. Milk was at least anyway coming and just like, you just give it to neighbors if you're extra and things like that. Cows were maintained for everything. Cow, it is said even, we see the dust that comes up from the hooves of cow, that is also auspicious. So you should learn, when Krishna was attacked by Putana, the Yashoda, mother Yashoda, they waved the tail of cow and switch of cow. There are different ways. If you only equate with milk, it will be a bit difficult. And then, if only milk is the product, then bulls, then tractor industry. And once I read, people don't use bulls. They can sometimes see that bulls are economically viable than tractors. Ek pehla tractor comes at 3 lakh. Bull comes at, one pair comes at 10,000 or 20,000. So 2 lakh 80,000 you save. Okay. How much a bull eats daily? Maybe of 50 rupees. Tractor also requires diesel of 1500 rupees daily. So running cost is the same. Investment is cheap for bull. But a tractor industry will come and say, only thing is, you have to work little harder with the bulls. Whole day's job bull will be done by tractor in 1 hour. But still that is illusion. Because tractors 1 hour rent is 200 rupees. And bull's day's rent is 100 rupees. And bull jo kaam karta hai, who works with the bull, his rent is 100 rupees. So only thing, you have to give 200 rupees for bull and the man, but the work goes on for 1 day. Here you have to give 250 rupees for tractor. Only thing, work happens in 1 hour. But economically, not viable. But they will preach, it is viable. And then 2,80,000 rupees if you save, so many bulls can be maintained for whole life. The difference of cost between the tractor and a pair of bull. But then people are not intelligent. They are maximum people in this world are not intelligent in the category of Shudras. So they will just accept whoever preaches them. They say, oh, tractor is... They will not apply their intelligence. That is very. If you put on the statistics, it's very common. You save in the initial investment of 2,80,000 rupees. Within that, your bull can be maintained for whole life. Much less than that is required than a pair of... than a tractor. So there are so many things. And tractor will give out all pollutants in your farm. And bull will give out all useful things in your farm. Pesticide industry, that will be stopped. So all the industries are related with cow killing. They have to kill cows to maintain their industries. That's 100. Anyway, it's 9 o'clock. We can discuss in detail further personally. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.